Hello, everyone. Welcome back to E-commerce AI, the Revenue Revolution. Today, we have a very special guest with us, Brendan Cameron, the Director of Strategy at American Eagle. Brendan is joining our CEO, Dr. Ari Khan, to clear up misconceptions about AI, dive into technologies like natural language processing and generative AI. They'll also tackle concerns about costs and implementation, and explore how optimizing search and data quality can deliver quick wins in the evolving B2B market. So without waiting any longer, I'm going to go ahead and let you guys take it away.
Brendan, great to see you. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, happy to be here. How's it going today?
It's going great. It's going great. Just so that everyone knows, American Eagle is Bridgeline's number one largest partner with HawkSearch. I think that by far, no one has implemented more HawkSearch implementations, big, complex ones, B2B, B2C. So today we're going to get into some really interesting details from serious hands-on experience in the AI world, in the site search world, in general commerce strategy world. And Brendan is running the show over there. So we're honored and excited to be able to spend a little bit of time and share this with all of our customers.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here. It's one of those pieces to where, you know, I think starting last year, maybe even 2 years ago at conferences, that buzz was coming out, and then, you know, OpenAI became like a public application in their beta, and, you know, everyone's trying to figure out, you know, what do I use with it? But I think the funniest thing is that it's been around for years now. I mean, I know HawkSearch, for instance, has been leveraging a lot of AI pieces, of course. I think recently you guys have started doing a lot of the generative and contextual, but AI as a whole is something that's really been around and practiced. I'm happy it's getting the limelight, you could say that.
Well, that's absolutely the case. You know, people think that AI is ChatGPT. That's one form. It's not even the biggest form of neural networks. It's transformer neural network, and there are many others, and RNNs, for example. But my background is in AI from the 90s, but that was computer vision and some convolutional neural networks, but other stuff. It is a very broad field. What's really interesting is that the advances that have happened most recently with Gen AI, with large language models and transformer networks, is that it directly applies to an end user's experience in the sense that it allows us to interact with the machine in a more natural way. And for the machine to provide more creative, in a certain sense, feedback with us and engage us in a dialogue that helps solve problems, especially in the shopping area. So it's a small part of AI, it's the most exciting part of AI, and it is directly applicable. What are you seeing in terms of like real world impact for sites and demand right now?
So it's definitely changing the way that we experience an online journey. You know, you have people now that used to go onto Google and just, they started probably when it, you know, decades ago, actually asking full sentences and whatnot, but as Google and other search engines and even on-site search, you were programmed that extraneous keywords are bad. So you got really, really specific and keyword matching. And now we almost have to unlearn what decades of, you know, processes have taught us, to where now those words that were considered secondary or to be ignored are now part of that context. Because, you know, typing in a keyword into a search engine now is going to be very different than asking a question. I like the keyword example or the phrase, something to keep my coffee warm, when traditionally it would look for things that match coffee, warm, keep. So you might get results back that are like coffee bags that you might have for sale, or a coffee mug, or also then maybe a warm blanket or something like that.
Yeah, right, a brown blanket.
But now with actually the AI and the natural language processing, it's understanding I'm not looking for those keywords. I'm looking for the concept of, you know, an electric mug or a kettle warmer or something like that again, that's what your intent is. And I think that's the thing, is we can now kind of search with intent, which is great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. There's this concept in neural nets, especially in transformer neural networks, called a context window. And the context window is essentially, you can think of it as like the number of words that come before and even after, in some scenarios, the point in which the neural network is going to provide new information. So if you look at coffee and you look at warm without a context window, it's like, okay, you can, maybe it is a brown colored blanket, right? And now that we have these context windows, we're able to have a deeper understanding and a broader sense for what the person's really looking for. And with retrieval augmented generation, also refine those results down to just one catalog or just one set of solutions that are relevant to the particular website or online store or whatever that are being used. And then that brings it all back to an appropriate answer, which I think when we step back and we think strategically with the VP of e-commerce or whoever owns the site with for the company, strategically, that allows us to speak in terms of, you know, real value, delivering better conversions, growing online revenue. And, you know, at the end of the day, all this other stuff is just technical details if you're not really delivering a result.
And that really hits home hard. I do a lot of work in building materials and industrial automation equipment and electrical distribution. And the contextual results and the comprehension needed when even putting in keywords. I know back working with a mutual customer, we had junction box issues because you would type into the keyword search 5x5x5. And with normal keyword matching, it meant nothing. You would get the number 5 in a description, a number 5 in the name, a number 5 in the brand, a SKU number. It doesn't understand that you're looking for a 5-inch by 5-inch by 5-inch junction box. And again, that's where that natural language processing and understanding intent come in, because these are, especially in the B2B market, you know, I'd like to say that they're 10 to 15 years behind where you're expecting a lot of retail to come in. And that's across the board from both the user understanding all the way into the data and the workflows and whatnot. So to have somebody that doesn't have that kind of knowledge from being a child, I bought my, you know, college books on Amazon. I didn't go to a bookstore type of thing. So my entire life is e-commerce. I'm taught that way. And I understand, like, search doesn't understand that. Like, and I've learned over the years, people in this industry that have been in that building materials industry for 40 or 50 years, they haven't learned what e-commerce and sites can do. And that's a frustrating part. With AI, this is the great part about it. They can understand it and they can start understanding those pieces. And I know HawkSearch did a great job with it, because now you had engineers typing in 5x5x5 box and you're getting the junction boxes, as you would expect, even though it has, with traditional keyword matching, no context around that.
Yeah. That's the way that we like to think about it, is that I think that the metric is 72% of e-commerce purchases hit the search box. Mm-hmm. And that search box needs to be your best salesperson, because that's the one that everybody comes up and asks the question for. And as a consequence, it needs to understand intent, used to that word that kind of catches my attention, that helps provide better search results than you would get otherwise if you understand the true intent of the person and can find it. But also, it needs to have that natural language processing. It needs to have that real customer experience, because there are still shoppers, and I didn't buy my college books on Amazon, that do want a salesperson, yet they also want to shop online. And that search dialog box has to be that, has to have that the best salesperson in your company capability.
Yeah, and the other part too, it's really exciting, like as a consultant and as being in like the AI kind of ecosystem, like I need to be the expert, so I'm constantly playing with the tools and everything, and there's a lot of ideas like, oh, I can send my emails into my private, and sidebar, never, just PSA to everyone, never put any proprietary information into an open beta or free version of AI. That's, I just wanted to let everyone know that I always seem to have to say it, but I think like, well, what I can load my emails into that and then every day have it spit out, you know, a summary of the emails and my priorities for the day. Like, that's a great idea. That would take a lot to develop because there isn't a tool out yet. And then here comes Copilot from Microsoft that does just that now. And I think that's another important thing, is using these custom development pieces is a great initiative, and it pushes the market forward, but the cost impact and the ROI involved in it is really tough. Like, you have to commit, like, you know, opening a new business or a restaurant, you know, it's going to be in the red for a little bit before, because you're walking on uncharted ground and territory, and you know, you're going to be debugging a lot of things because you're doing something nobody's done before, and there's a huge cost impact to that. And I know agencies are talking about, well, we could do something like this with OpenAI and we could do this for you. I'm like, or you could wait 6 months, maybe a year, and there's probably going to be a platform that does just that, exactly like I explained with Copilot. And I think that's the same thing with, you know, what your team have done, where you were the ones kind of playing around with all this new tech, and then once you found a proven solution, you put it into the product. So you don't have your customers needing to worry about taking on that risk. Your team is doing it, and that's great.
Yeah, thank you for that. That was a really important part of our 2023, first half of 2024 engineering focus, is to have out-of-the-box AI. We had rapid UI so that you could implement HawkSearch without having to do any coding if you didn't want to, and then you can customize it afterwards. But also for the AI components, when you turn on our large language models and have image search, visual search, concept search, all of those just are available inside of your regular search dialogue. However, what we've discovered, and maybe you've seen this as well, is that the merchandising team within B2B and B2C organizations adds a ton of value. And you can't just turn on AI and tell them to all go on vacation and expect to have the same result revenues that you were getting before. They're going to go down if you don't allow your merchandising team to use their natural intelligence and to understand the context and their customers and so forth to adjust your AI generated results. So you still want to, for instance, boost certain products to the top of a search result, bury certain other ones below other search results, define your recommendations and so forth. If you just go hands off and turn on AI, it might drive you right off a cliff. But if you make AI part of your team, maybe it's a junior part of your team, and you're guiding it and you're tuning it, all of a sudden it can do a lot of the heavy lifting for you and allow you to think more strategically.
And yeah, I know when we do these projects, we always warn clients about the cold start, you know? the cold start is that we're developing in an environment that we're testing on, that the customer may have limited people testing on, and then you flip the switch to go live and it has maybe 1% of the customer behavior it needs to really to start being effective. And that's the thing, where having AI is a great thing, you know, being able to pull in customer behavior and all that, but what about that first 60 days or very seasonal work? Again, in the industries that I'm probably doing the most work in, you'll have a drastic change between what products are relevant and what aren't. PPE and safety. Salt is never going to be sold in June.
Right.
So So it's that type of thing where we need to limit it because AI would naturally take a holistic approach at everything because it has the processing power to look at a million data points simultaneously. But again, it doesn't understand the fact that it's 85 degrees outside today in Chicago. I do not need melting salt.
Exactly, right? So you need the humans to be part of that solution. I'm going to use that example in the future for building supply salt. Your merchandising team knows better than to like push salt to the top of their search results for the customers in June. So you've done a tremendous amount of business in the building supplies and electrical distributors and so forth. If we think about B2B for a second, what are some of the more interesting results that you've seen for implementations for search and for AI?
Yeah, so I mean, we're leveraging search definitely for more than just search. When you deal with product configurations or having a product series potentially, where, I'm looking for a capacitor, I'm looking for an outlet or a fuse or something like that, and I'm going to still get 100, 200, 500 results because every fuse is exactly the same, but it's different. A HawkSearch client we worked with is the number top five, let's say, I think, a distributor of light bulbs. You can imagine how useless search is if you think of it from the traditional on-site search perspective, because what are you going to search for? You're going to search for light bulb, and that's still all a million of their products or something. So, leveraging search into a different user experience can be just as effective as having the keyword search, where now instead we took pictures of the different types of bulbs there are. Your traditional, your flood, your CFLs, your big fluorescents, your projector lights, halogens. And the first step would be asking them what does the bulb that they're looking for look like?
Yes.
And they would be able to see an image. That's running the same search algorithm, except instead of doing keyword matching, it's doing that filter and faceting. And that falls into, again, now it's going to automatically filter the results out, and you go from a 100,000 bulbs to 500 bulbs. And then the second question that I think we asked for 90% of the situations is what's the wattage? And then you have a wattage range, and now you're down from 500 to maybe 50 different bulbs, and they're mostly comparative at this point. So it's not like you still have to do additional work. It's mainly like, are you going to look for GE or Phillips, and it gets into the more subjective aspect of a customer journey, and that's perfectly fine. So I think the great thing now is they could probably add taking a picture of the bulb in their hand and then uploading it to search, and then that's where the AI recognition comes in, where it can see the shape and you don't even have to make that selection. So I think that would be a great evolution for them potentially as well.
Exactly. And that's where I really think that it comes into the website becoming your best salesperson. Because if you walked into the lighting store and you weren't sure exactly how to describe the product that you wanted, the salesperson is going to say, "Well, what does it look like?" And you can describe, "Well, it's wide and it's white and it's round." Okay, good. Boom, boom, boom. Or you got a picture of it? Yeah, sure. Here, I just took a picture on the phone. I need two of these, right? Or can you just describe me what you're looking for? Maybe, you just want to see if such a thing exists in natural language. Well, I need a light that's soft and not more than 40 inches wide, but it's a big, it's a big, fixture for a ceiling and the entrance of a home. And all of a sudden, Smart Search, for example, with Hawk Search, would allow you to describe your needs in these different modalities with a picture or with a textual description of a picture or with a general use case and come back with something. And that's what would happen if you walked into a lighting store and spoke with the salesperson. And I think that that's what the next generation, maybe it's even the people that are 30 years old right now, are going to demand, not just expect, but demand from their online shopping, B2B and B2C. And if you're not there, they're going to click on the next site.
Well, I mean, and then to add to that, what happens when your number one salesman eventually retires or leaves or something?
Right.
And what if, and then how do you get all that knowledge that he had, the 50 years experience, into the junior sales or BDR fresh out of school? Like, your internal team is going to use the website as a teaching device as much as your customers are going to use it as a way to just frictionlessly buy something.
And in the B2B world, where you have these distributors that have 75-year-old parts to a tractor engine or whatever, and there are a million parts in the overall catalog, and you've got that gray-haired guy that just kind of knows everything and he's got one foot out the door, what are you going to do? You need to have some serious intelligence on your internal B2B shop so that your customers who depended on that guy helping them find stuff don't suddenly say, well, I can't find anything with you anymore, I'm going to go look elsewhere.
And that's the thing too, like, I do, from my kind of experience in the market, there's a lot of companies that are, what would you call it? They're happy where they're at. Mm. You know, they're content with their current customer base. There's no incentive to grow. Like, another client is going to be a fraction of maybe their total income or whatever like that. Like, but that may not mesh with what the company wants as a whole. The company, I'm pretty sure, will always want to grow. Every corporation would like to get another customer, another thing like that. And that's where the website will always be doing. It'll always be attracting new ones. And search is a great way to do it. And that brings that customer experience. You become a resource. You become something else. So the other side, and this is where we try to help a lot, is we want to drive more traffic to the site so that they could use search. And having good SEO, having good data, making sure everything is set up properly, and I think most importantly, marketing it. Mm. You know, you invested a good amount of money and a license for, you know, this new tool that you're going to have on your site. You need to showcase it. You know, we do a lot of experience with having teasers out to your current customers, having AdWords and having remarketing ads. You know, it's not going to be a bad thing. You have a product showcase where you're talking about the new Milwaukee tools have come out. Well, how about you have a remarketing ad where you're showing the new tools and builders and finders to make the customer life easier? It's, you need to bring people and get them excited to use the site for, again, the same reason. I want to get my sales rep off the phone, or I want to get a net new customer and showing them how powerful the site is. We need to make sure that we're on the hilltops yelling it.
Exactly. You know, I think that's a very critical point, right? You're not just plugging in technology and assuming everything's done. You need a partner, you know, American Eagle, for instance, that understands the broader business goals. And, you know, you mentioned traffic, you mentioned SEO, right? These are additional things that, who cares how great your site is if it doesn't have any traffic, right? And you need innovative ways, because what worked yesterday to drive people to your site might not work tomorrow. And you need to have a partner with their fingers on thousands and thousands of sites, seeing how markets are changing, what works over in the construction industry and what worked over in the fashion industry and so forth, and try these different capabilities. So it's in a lot of ways even more complicated than just making sure people show up inside of your brick and mortar store where you can, you know, just have a sign out in front of it and throw some local banners, because now,
yeah, it's the same thing. It's a digital banner. You need to have that put up in front of your storefront. That's what,
yeah,
we want to make you do.
And it's got to be in multiple languages sometimes, and it's got to be in multiple places and multiple time zones and so forth. And if you don't do it, no one's showing up, and you can have a great, mm-hmm, sale. You can have the best products, but it doesn't matter because no one knows.
Yeah. Yeah. These are like really exciting times, and especially in B2B as a whole, like the amount of maturity, if you go back, like let's go to 1999, like when Amazon was just starting, and it took 2.5 decades to see where it is today.
Yeah.
I'm seeing the Grangers of the world, the Zorros, the ones that have the same, if not more, of a market share in the B2B landscape that Amazon had in retail, and they're getting there in half the time.
Mm-hmm.
I love Zorro even as a consumer now, just because, again, they took all of the tried and true methodology of having good product data, having a good search experience, recommendations, and a B2C, a retail-like experience, even though it is catered to that B2B market. And you could see how fast you could skyrocket a company. Zorro was founded by 20 guys out of Granger, and they had nothing. And it's ballooned up in the past 10 years about, I think, is when it was founded. So what took Amazon almost 30 years has taken, you know, people with a good head on their shoulders in the B2B market less than 10.
Yeah. Well, also, you know, Amazon invested tens of billions of dollars. Granger, you know, obviously the big boys, they've been around for a very long time, and e-commerce has been around for 25 years, and they've invested and tested and succeeded and failed for the last 25 years with e-commerce. And I'm sure they still have a lot to learn, but they've also have a lot of lessons learned. And you need a partner that has seen a large number of these sites, what's worked, what hasn't worked, what could have worked, but maybe didn't. And if they try it again, maybe it will next time. So that you're not coming from scratch and trying to learn everything yourself 25 years too late and spending the same $1 billion on Amazon.
I'd love to get the go ahead from one of my customers to be like, go off and make something that no one's ever done leveraging AI before. Here's the check, and there's no risk. Like, I'd love that opportunity. I would never recommend it to any one of my customers. Like, unless it's gambling. Like, unless you know, you walk into Vegas and you're like, I'm expecting to lose any money I put on a table.
Yeah.
Like, doing that type of work and trying to be that differentiator in the market using the raw AI, like, you have to understand that may be a sunk cost, and you have to accept it as a loss. And if it's successful, that's a plus. I would never, in the market and the margins we look at on a daily basis, recommend having an agency or someone even saying they have confidence in it to do it. I would look at those companies that are leveraging AI in their product, that already put in the risk and have tested it and gave it its vetting, and then said, this is part of our product, we're confident in it. Mm-hmm. The other side is, I saw a slide. I was at NAED Marketing Summit in Charlotte this past month. Mm-hmm. And I had a slide that I used that's like, here's all the AI companies. I think it was about 100. That guy had the same slide I used 4 months ago, except it was 10 times as big. There were like 1,000 AI companies out there now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, again, I almost feel as much of a risk is, there might be one really cool tool you find, but if it's at a startup, they might be gone in a year.
Yeah.
So looking at the companies that are leveraging AI that are established, again, like HawkSearch is a great example. You've been around for years and you have the backing and you have the infrastructure, and now you're bringing in AI to it, like even more and more of it. That's a much safer bet and a much easier thing where you can kind of guarantee that ROI.
Yeah, that's a great point. And it's helpful when you have a product in a business that has a large customer base and understands what the real market and competitive needs are, and is coming and bringing AI to solve that. Because if it's a startup and they're just bringing AI in and they don't have that context, it might be some really neat ideas, but it might not be relevant or just going.
They might be looking to just get acquired.
Yeah.
They want Google to come in and just swipe them up. That's the only thing they're doing.
That's right. Yeah. Flash the AI button and get a good valuation and go on vacation.
Well, guys, I'm jumping in here. This was a great episode. Brendan, I wanted to give you some time to kind of share any way that anybody can find you, reach out to you, or if you just have any last remarks.
Yeah. You could find me on LinkedIn, or if you go to the website, AmericanEagle.com, I have my own page on the site. Just search my name. I do a lot of these types of webinars and thought leadership pieces across the industries. But yeah, feel free to reach out and marketing, search optimization, both on-site and organic. Our team is happy to help.
Cool. Well, thank you so much again.
Thank you,
Brandon. Thank you, everybody, for watching. We'll see you all next time.